Welcome to the Cover Zero Podcast 2024 Draft Recap Episode. Tonight, I'm your host, J-Rob, as always. And tonight, I'm joined by the Mr. Funny Man of the group, the comedian of the podcast, Cordae. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Happy to be talking football.
Happy to be talking football. This is the last kind of show that people tend to have when they do things like we do prior to the real offseason of the NFL, where there's just not a lot of development to discuss. So, I mean, you can get into what you think is going to occur next, but this is the last time we get to recap something until we have an actual game in week one.
Yeah, next up is just mini camps and then training camp, and then if we want to do some other little side projects, hell yeah.
Yeah, we almost into top 10 season. We almost into this or that, either or, if and or but, and all the above. Yeah, but tonight, we're going to break this down into a couple different ways. We're going to talk about our favorite picks of the first round. We're going to talk about the picks that we, the collection of picks that we like the most. We're going to talk about things that didn't necessarily make sense to us. Then we're also going to talk about the reaches and all those things that encompass draft season are going to be discussed right here on the show tonight. So I will swing it to you first to kick it off. Your personal favorite pick of the first round is who and why?
Man, I'm going to get a lot of blowback for this, but I really like the Michael Penix pick, man. Like, I really like, I like the Michael Penix pick because I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. I'm a big non-believer in Kirk Cousins. Like, I remember me and Jay had a whole podcast about, I think it was years ago, I said the Vikings should move on from Kirk Cousins and draft Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett doesn't look like to be the guy, and Jay was right on that aspect, but I was still right because the Vikings moved on. So it's basically two mutual thing.
You are not right, bro. Kenny Pickett is terrible. Hey, Kirk Cousins is bad, Kenny Pickett is ass basura.
Both teams moved on, baby. Hey, it's a tie, baby. Hey, you know, I was right. When I'm right, I'm right. But when I'm wrong, I could have been right. Which makes you wrong, but I could have been right. You know. Shout out to
All right. So we already off to one of them starts. Continue though on why you like Michael Penix to the Falcons there at 8, even though they got Kirk Cousins on 7 digits guaranteed. So go ahead.
I like it from the standpoint of if this shit don't work out with Kirk Cousins, you got 2 years. Like 2 years basically is a clock, and then if that's not, we can move on from there. Most of the money is in the first 2 to 3 years. So then you can move on from that standpoint. I know Michael Penix is older, but dope QB. Teams always say, like, if we're up this high in the draft, we have to take somebody right here. It's a great pick from that standpoint because I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. So I feel like it's, like, a very good backup situation to really, if this shit ain't working out. Because also, Kirk Cousins is only 1-4 in the playoffs. You would think, like, all right, well, why'd you pay him all that money to just draft his replacement? But I'm like, hey, we development quarterbacks. We got a backup plan just in case. But hey, so I like it from that standpoint because Michael Penix was probably he was a quarterback. I wanted to see where are you going in this draft because I know we had J.J. McCarthy was supposed to be rumored to go to the Giants. Bo Nix went to the Broncos, where everybody that was like the mock everybody kept seeing. So I was like, where does Penix land? And Penix went before both of those guys. So that's why I like this pick.
I don't like this pick at all. And with any means in myself, we were talking about this off air. This is Terry Fontenot, the GM for the Falcons. This is his 4th year. This is an all-in move. Signing Kirk Cousins from a process standpoint. Kirk Cousins is a fringe-ish top 10. I would consider the guy a top 10 quarterback for sure. Honestly, I would. He's like in that 10, 9, 11 range, somewhere in there. He definitely is. And I mean, team success, team wins in the playoffs. Yeah, Kirk Cousins 1-4 in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has one more win than him, but has been the MVP twice. One more playoff win than him in his career, but he's a multi-time MVP and someone we all agree easily is one of the most elite, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, but one more playoff win only than Kirk. I mean, so we're not going to do this playoff wins thing to define what a quarterback is or is not. I'm just not here for that.
Yeah, we know who got more talent, who's played with more talent, especially offensively, out of Kirk Cousins.
When has Kirk Cousins ever had a defense like Lamar just had last year?
Has Lamar ever had weapons like how Kirk's had since the moment he stepped in Minnesota?
This year, Lamar had weapons.
Were they on the same level as Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and then Justin Jefferson at Adam Thielen. And then
the gap between Lamar's weapons this year and Kirk's weapons the years that he's been in the playoffs is nowhere near what the gap is between Lamar's defenses, Lamar's coaches, compared to Kirk's coaches and Kirk's defense.
We can say that, but hey, man.
You know that's true. You know that's correct.
I mean, well, his first 2 years with the Vikings, those defenses was great.
Mike Zimmer, they were not great. Those defenses were not great like that. They really weren't. Jimmy G lit one of those defenses up in the playoffs. Jimmy G, like, I mean,
hey, Niners.
Anyway, beyond that, like, Michael Penix being 24 years old here in about a week as we record this in the early days of May. Kirk Cousins is going to start this year. Kirk Cousins is going to start the year after that. He will be, maybe he even start like this year. This is a 4-year deal. So I'm only considering if he plays half of the deal that you get Penix within 2 years left. Let's say Kirk plays 3 out of the 4, right? And that's when they look to move on. Now you have 1 year on Michael Penix at 27, right? You decide if you want to pick up the fifth year. You can decide if you want to pick up the fifth year. So then you basically are in the spot right now where Trevor Lawrence is, which is everyone, oh, are they going to sign him? Are they going to? You know when you're in the fourth year and you're a top 10 pick overall, that before that fifth year comes along, that's when do we re-sign him? And we could be in a spot where they're looking at that type of decision in the crosshairs, and we haven't seen Michael Penix play at all. This does not make sense. You're Terry Fontenot. You're trying to save your career. You're as a GM, your first time with the Falcons, and your first round pick is a guy that you may not even get to see within your tenure, like because of a decision that you also made. This like nah, I am not here for this move at all. This is no knock on the prospect. I think Michael Penix is. I was hoping he got to the Raiders at 13, and this isn't me being bitter about that, right? This just does not make sense for how they have set everything else up. Considering the prospect he is, how old he is, considering how much they're paying Kirk Cousins. Doesn't make sense at all to me. Anyway, that's where we disagree.
When we looked at last year, they had Bijan splitting carries, so that didn't make sense either. So it looks like...
Yeah, but that coach is gone. That coach is gone.
More of the
that
same coach with the is Falcons. Gone. More of the same with the Falcons. So makes perfect sense.
That coach is gone. He was the what's going on king for me last year.
It was. It made no sense.
And he's in another team that we'll get to on this episode later as we move through our topics here. But to kick it over to my favorite one of the first round, I have Rome Odunze, the wide receiver out of Washington, pick 9 overall, going to the Chicago Bears. I love this one so much because there were a lot of times where I would run through the exercise of mock drafts myself, and I would kind of put this player to that team. And when it landed on the Bears at 9, I was like, wow, they can either get Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. And I just thought Rome Odunze is the guy that I would really want there. I went back and forth, flip-flop between those two receivers over and over again. I ended up with Rome being my number 2 over Malik by just a tiny little hair. And Rome going there is the final stamp on Ryan Poles doing what Ryan Pace, the previous GM for the Bears, did not do. Ryan Pace did not surround his first round talented rookie quarterback with a supporting cast.
At all.
Ryan Poles has done that. Ryan Poles has done that so well. Like, he's done that absolutely well. And before I get into like other things about Ryan Poles that I just want to bring up on before we move on, what are your thoughts on Rome Odunze at 9 going to the Bears as their second first round pick?
I kind of wanted them to take a tackle at that pick. They took one in the third. Kieran, I said his name out of
Kieran Aramaji, guy out of Yale, right?
Yeah. So the fact that they took him, they took him in 9. I was like, I wish they would have took a tackle right there because you would have doubled up and protected him. But I like Malik Nabers a lot. Super dope guy. Super
good. You mean Rome?
Rome Odunze. My bad. That's for later discussion. Rome Odunze, definitely good. Because I started thinking about it, I was like, well, they got number 2. What's the guy's name? I forget his name.
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore. And then they got Keenan Allen on the other side. And then I'm like, well, they got, why would you load up with him? And then I started thinking about it. DJ Moore is like a quick space guy, stuff like that. Allen, cool, smooth chance guy, was always hurt. Neighbors can really be like that guy to redevelop.
Rome Odunze.
My bad. I don't know why. Rome Odunze. I'm looking at him on my phone too. He is right here. His name on my phone, and I'm still saying the wrong thing. I don't know why. But okay. Rome Odunze. Great pickup for him. Cause I'm like, Keenan Allen always gets hurt. He gets elevated to the two. Let's say if DJ Moore doesn't work out, stuff like that. Great pickup. Solid. I'm like, this is what Justin Fields needed.
Right.
When they drafted him.
Right.
Like, we're going above and beyond giving you options to throw to. Like, last year was Fields' best year with just one receiver and DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Now, Caleb's coming in with three guys. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You know what?
Don't forget about Cole Kmet. Don't forget about DeAndre Swift out the backfield.
Okay, right. DeAndre Swift. I don't care about Cole Kmet, but DeAndre Swift out the backfield. And great. And he was
Cole Kmet as your fourth or fifth option? Sign me up.
I don't like it for the contract they gave him. That's why. Because I didn't get why they gave that man a ton of money for doing God knows what. He did come on towards the end of last year, and I was like, okay, whatever. But I'm like, neither here nor there. The Rome Odunze pick was nice. Three. Okay. Potential first tier receivers that Caleb Williams has to throw to. And Caleb Williams, and everybody was trying to talk the pre-draft concept of saying they should have, he's not like, you know, can he throw on script? Can he not do all this stuff? I'm like, that USC team was trash. The O-line was trash. His receivers wasn't as good as before. And everything was off script.
And the defense was worse than all of that.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. And Lincoln Riley proved some coach. There were some coaching ineptitudes proved through what Lincoln Riley could do. Like, not he wasn't like trash or anything, but like he got knocked down a few pegs. You know,
he got knocked down a few pegs, and the fact that it's also he doesn't coach defense at all, because the coach who moved on to Oklahoma, they can play defense there. They look good. They can score too. So it's just an ineptitude of Lincoln Riley not coaching defense, not really caring about it either. And then you saw Caleb Williams started to press towards the end of the year, where I go off the field thinking I'm already down 7 or down 14. Like, Colorado almost came back. I think the final score was like 54-48. Yeah. Like, great. Like, you, if there's like a, if I don't outscore these people, it was like the Phoenix Suns. This isn't basketball, but it's just like always keep scoring. We got to keep scoring. We got to, if we don't do it, we going to lose.
Yeah. Like, their offense was like top six, top five in all of college football. And their defense was ranked in like the hundreds.
Yeah. I would always watch work up game day, and they was always talk about USC, how explosive the offense is, and they would show the stats of the defense. And I remember I would watch later on the ticker and then watch the highlights and catch whatever part of the game when I recorded, and I would just see 45-38, 36-32, 28-25. I'm just like,
and like when Oregon beat him, it was like 36-28, and then people were like, oh God, Caleb ate it. I'm like, so the man has to score 30 against a top 10, top 8 team in the nation for him to not be trash. Like, this is ridiculous to me. This is ridiculous. And his offensive weapons, if you look, who else from USC offensively went all that high?
Nobody.
Exactly. Right. And if you look at them, like, oh, Michael Penix, he's got like two of his tackles, three of his receivers, and himself.
Yeah.
All went in the first three rounds, top 100.
Yep.
Come on now.
But
come on.
I got to give it to Penix too. Penix was
like, no knock on Penix, but it's just like, let's look around and see, we got to evaluate these prospects as individuals. Yeah. And when you start taking the supporting cast into consideration, we start to see some discrepancies between the two of them. Anyway.
And that's how Caleb was, because he was still keeping him in games, even though he had subpar talent around him.
Yeah,
because for sure. That 2022 season, that man looked ridiculously good because he had weapons around him and stuff like that. He made Jordan Addison look not as good, because I remember there was a knock. They was like, well, he had Caleb throwing to him. He didn't look as well when he was at Pittsburgh as he did at USC, because Caleb made it so damn easy for him. All he had to do was just run around and it'll be right there. He didn't have to make crazy catches, because Caleb would throw it on the money. So
right. Yeah. A quick looking at Ryan Poles just really right now, which I have to do because the Bears, the haul overall, I mean, the first two picks that they made, the two in the first round, two in the top 10. I loved it. They won't be on my overall haul, but right now I got to give a shout out to Ryan Pace for what he's done for this squad. So back on March 10th of 2023, he traded the number one pick to Carolina that they had at that time in exchange for the ninth pick in 2023, 56th overall that same year, Carolina's 2024 first rounder, a 2025 second rounder, and DJ Moore. So in short, if we combine that and the other moves that he has done since he's been in office, this man, Ryan Poles, flipped, basically, the number one overall pick in 2023, a 2024 second, and a 2024 fourth round pick for Darnell Wright, the tackle that they took last year in the first round, number nine overall. Well, number 10 overall, because they traded with your Eagles and swapped. So you guys could get Jalen Carter. So number 10, Darnell Wright. Number 56 overall, they took the cornerback, starting corner, Tyreek Stevenson. Had a bad first half of the season. Had a really promising second half of the season. Big shout out Michael Gibson. Y'all was trying to clown on me why I didn't have him better because of his first season. Yeah, I was like, nah, like he played like the whole season. I got to grade the whole season when I do my all-pro teams. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Anyway, very promising second half. You guys got a player in that guy. The number 2024 number one overall pick, which ended up being Caleb Williams, Montez Sweat, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Montez Sweat, Caleb Williams, Tyreek Stevenson, and Darnell Wright. Well, that's what this man has acquired.
The only thing, the Montez Sweat pick, that was their number, their second round pick. They
traded for Montez Sweat. I'm saying he traded to get him. Right. It wasn't like they did it. Like, but this, he took what he had.
Yeah.
Right. And he acquired. I didn't include Roma Dunze in there because Roma Dunze was their number nine overall pick. That was just there. But that's even another feather in his cap to be able to take a player like that and add him to all of this mix that I just mentioned. So I'm loving what Ryan Poles did. A big, huge shout out for him. I am really like pulling for the Bears this year. Big time. Like I already got money on them with a buddy of mine. So he bet me the Bears won't win seven games.
I can't wait to the season preview so you can hear my take stand. But yeah, I'm hoping as well for Caleb. I wish they would have maybe got rid of the head coach kind of a thing, but the defense was coming on. We have one coach, we draft a guy, might get fired, bring a new coach in. This ain't my career, but Caleb was the man. Caleb's about to save a lot of people jobs and get a lot more people jobs because of how great he's about to play.
I think so too. And they've surrounded him with talent to let him do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can
I share my other dope pick that I liked?
Go ahead.
Xavier Worthy, receiver out of Texas, going to Kansas City Chiefs. Sorry. I know.
I think this one makes way more sense than the Michael Penix pick.
I know. I got you. Because also I think this is them going up to they struggled a receiver all year last year.
For sure.
Marquez, Valdez, Scandalous, Ellis, couldn't
catch. He'd be a meme by the end of the year.
Kadarius Toney was messing stuff up, lining offside, stuff like that, and they still end up winning the Super Bowl.
Sky Moore was out there doing cardio.
Hey.
My man running wind sprints and down and back. Out there,
man. Running wind sprints out there. Rice came on towards the end. And Sky Moore at this point is just a bust because he's just a return man at this time now. He's not even doing nothing. Great pickup on their end to pick him up. And then it was also I feel like this was the Jameson Williams pick that they couldn't get when he came out because you got another fast guy who's actually probably – well, Jameson Williams hasn't came back from that ACL yet, basically being the same guy he was in college as he is in the NFL, stuff like that. But I'm like, this is a great pick for Kansas City. You can stretch the field again. You can throw deep. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to drop back and throw it where the receiver can throw a little short so the receiver can run under it because that's where Valdez said he couldn't catch it because it was too far. I'm like, what? Mahomes was helping his receivers a lot. He was like, I should throw it shorter more so it could be, he can run under it so he can like come back to it instead of.
Bro, it's really Mahomes' fault because he threw it into his hands. I mean, let's be honest. You know what I mean?
You're supposed to throw it behind him where it can hit him in his belly.
You got to throw it in my palms. You threw it on my knuckle.
You threw it right on the whole fingers. I need it on my palms, like you said. Yeah. You threw it right like this, where I could catch it like that. Now I need it in the hand and in the palms. Cause I go like this.
I catch. Yeah, like I want this. It between my eyes. You put it right on my right eye.
Yeah, I catch it like this. I need it right here. Top of my helmet right here. You put it high where I can see it. Now I need it right on the forehead.
the Xavier Worthy as a receiver, more or less for you, would you say that you had I know you don't necessarily do prospect rankings, but you do pay attention to like guys coming up in the draft. Yeah. Yeah. Did he seem like a guy that you would consider a first round talent?
Yeah, first he was like late first, early second kind of stuff. Okay. But then I remember he was like kind of that 4-2-1. But then also his play was very good too. I remember his teammate went later than. I thought his team
was Adonai Mitchell was my number receiver 4. Yeah. I had Worthy at like 11, 12.
Yeah.
And no, I think 11, 12, maybe even 13. I'd have to look. But no, Adonai Mitchell was my receiver 4. I love AD Mitchell.
Yeah. Now he was good. Now he was good.
That in a little bit.
So yeah, I was shocked that he went. So didn't he go in like in the third or something like that? Like late second?
Second.
Third?
Late second.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute here. The other part though, the other part of it, I know we talked about it off air, and I don't think you mentioned it just yet.
We haven't mentioned it.
Go ahead.
The Buffalo Bills trading back with Kansas City to allow Kansas City to come up and get their guy, and it could have been the guy who Buffalo took. That now you strengthen your opponent who you can't beat, who's been tough games with. You don't remember that 10 seconds, or was it 20 seconds?
13.
It was 10 seconds, right?
13.
13. You remember what happened in 13 seconds? You want to repeat it at Buffalo? That didn't make sense to me. So that's why it's even more of a great pick, because you went up and got the guy who can stretch the field, go deep, can run out of those deep balls that Patrick Mahomes throw, and you worsen a rival in the playoffs and in the regular season and in your conference. That's why I love this pick so much.
So the rumor is that's going on right now. The part of this rumor that's going on right now is that Brandon Bean, GM for the Bills, called Kansas City and was like, hey, who are you guys taking with this pick? And the Bills were told that Kansas City wanted Xavier Worthy. And the Bills basically said, oh, okay, yeah, we don't care if you get him. We don't like that player. We aren't all that high on him. The player that we want to select is going to be here, and we feel this makes our team better. Right. So this will be something pretty dope to revisit here in the next like 3 to 4 years based on the trajectory of the players that each team selected with the corresponding picks from that trade. So I think that'll be something really cool to monitor that I'm, of course, going to, you know, write down and mark for later, file away for later. So the only other one I want to mention in the first round that I really liked, actually that I loved, Terrion Arnold, 24th overall. Cornerback out of Alabama going to Detroit that deep in the draft. I mean, Terrion Arnold was my CB1 in this class. Mm-hmm. And for him to go to the Detroit Lions, it is such a pairing. It's like, it's like, hey, we got a draft. We got peanut butter and we hope we can draft jelly. You know what I mean? That's what this was exactly like. And they were able to trade up and get themselves a Smucker. So, I mean,
You like the Smuckers. You like the Smuckers, little
pink. I like that Smucker seedless raspberry, bro. Go ahead, give me that.
Hey, okay. All right. I mess with it because I didn't care for Smuckers at first because my little brother used to have them. I thought it was a little kid thing. Then I tried one of them bad boys. Whew, them bro, things didn't last in my house after that.
That Smucker seedless raspberry with the Adams peanut butter.
Them things didn't last in my house after that.
Forget about it, bro.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Tried and true. Like it just works. And like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, there's even some comps I can make for peanut butter and jelly to Terrion Arnold, right? Like they are so consistent. They will deliver. They never let you down. And that's just what I see with him as a player. And this just is such a match. The way that Dan Campbell is as a culture guy, the type of players that he is that he wants to bring in. The type of prospect that Terrion Arnold is right there, just sitting when you don't have to like break the bank to move up and get him.
Yep.
Salute, my guy. Like, he was my CB1, as I said, and I'm a big Dan Campbell fan. That's well documented on this show. Aaron Glenn's coming back. They're running it back. Like, I just dope pick. Really, really love this one. And yeah, big shout out here. Brad Holmes does it.
Doing
again.
A good job. Good. They really yeah. setting themselves up for some great. Mm-hmm.
They are. So we're going to move on now. Those are our favorite individual picks, a couple from both of us. I liked, honestly, in that one that I you were the first one, honestly, who I've ever heard that liked that Penix pick. So, yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. We'll move on to our favorite collection, though, of players, as opposed to, like, just one pick. When one team came out of this draft, which team do you want to lead off with that you think did a tremendous job?
I mean, I got to give it up to team.
Go ahead.
Howie Roseman, man, doing a good thing again in the draft. And it's several things because he got Quinion Mitchell, a dope corner out of Toledo, who I found out that Nick Saban was waiting for him to enter the transfer portal because Toledo's not a big school and stuff like that. But and they was going to offer him. But he never left, and he stayed at Toledo. He got comparisons to Sauce Gardner, a real lockdown corner. He went to
I think that's a little bit of reach to say he's Sauce. He's a good corner. He's not that type of prospect.
Well, no, I don't think he's like him, but as a buzz guy who's like had a lot of buzz coming around him and stuff like that. Really solidified himself coming from, because like Cincinnati is a good school, but like nobody thought, people still had doubts on Sauce Gardner coming out. From Cincinnati, because of school.
Yeah, no, I don't know. No, people were like, yeah, no, draft Sauce at 2. You could draft Sauce at 1. Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah. People viewed Sauce collectively as a top 3 pick.
No, I got you. I'm saying there were knocks on the fact of his school is what I'm saying. There was like. Okay.
Some people for sure, yeah, for sure.
Okay, probably early in the draft and later in the draft, people,
Even later in the draft, you'll always find those fans now or those people who doubt. But go ahead.
Cincinnati, like who is really playing in Cincinnati? Like who, like you know, Cincinnati play nobody. That kind of talk that I was hearing. Quinion Mitchell addressed the corner position because we got Bradbury and Slay. They're getting up there. Slay still holding it down. Bradbury, you know, but we need a solid nickel or an outside guy. Cooper DeJean, who is going to be a safety. They're going to put the white boy in safety. I don't care what they say.
He didn't waste no time.
He's playing safety.
He didn't waste no time. He's at Cooper DeJean, and 4.4 seconds later, 4.4, he ran a 4.4 to say he's white.
sounds like a safety. That's a fast safety right there. That's it's super funny. Listen to a few different podcasts. They say white people are so racist they don't even believe in them own selves to play corner. Like that's how. Since November they were saying he's a really good safety. He looks like a great safety. Looks like a safety. So it's been hilarious. But I like the fact that we addressed the needs and also got great value at those picks too. Because like usually like Howie Roseman, I love him. He always invests in the trenches, invests up front. But we addressed it the big needs that we needed this year. There was a gaping holes on defense of corner. And safety help, like our depth was destroyed. So I really like those two picks. Will Shipley from Clemson, Texas A&M. So I really like that. We got Jeremiah Trier, Trevor Keegan out of Michigan, just tough, rugged guy. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. I like
Jalix Hunt, bro.
Jalix Hunt.
Man, if everybody listening, Jalix Hunt. It's like Jaylx Hunt.
Yep.
Pass rusher. If you want to watch an NFL caliber athlete go against like subpar college talent, YouTube Jalix Hunt and playing in college. Yeah. That's really all you got to do. I mean, he's really incredible. Kid out of Houston Christian.
Houston Christian.
For you guys, I love the Mitchell pick. Love Quinion Mitchell. I thought you guys were going to have to trade up to get him.
I thought he was going in the teens.
So did I.
We got him.
Yeah. All the corners fell in this draft. This draft was so offensive heavy that like the corners fell way more than a lot of us thought that they would. And as a result, stayed patient there, got aggressive in the second round to go get Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean, I remember like 2-3 months ago. during scouting process. I texted all of us in the Cover Zero chat. And I was like, I'm just not like, there's no way that they're talking about this dude, Cooper DeJean, being this, like, I'm seeing people like Cooper DeJean, CB1, Cooper DeJean, CB2.
I saw that too.
I'm just like, you guys gotta be tripping right now. Yeah. But I watched some more film. I started to project him. Okay, let me remove myself from where people are saying he's gonna play. And let me just evaluate the player for who he is. And when I got to that point, I saw, okay, maybe he can function at times as a safety. Maybe he can function at times as a nickel. He needs to go to the right spot. The spot where he went is perfect.
Perfect. Yep.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. For two reasons. One, you don't need the guy to play outside corner.
Exactly.
Right? You don't at all need that. You have the players there in place to do it. You got Young Cats and Keely Ringo and Quinyon. And you got the old dudes who have been there for a while, Bradbury and Slay, right?
Yeah.
So you got that taken care
of. The slot too, so it's not a, you know.
Right. Maybe, worst case scenario, you know, Cooper's taking a little minute. You plug in Avante Maddox. Maybe you play Cooper at safety next to Blankenship.
Like I said,
right? Yep. Those type of things. CJ Gardner-Johnson's back there, right, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe CJ plays the slot. You can figure out where he fits. Yep. And I think this thing too, which was a move you didn't like at the first part of this, my brother. Yeah. Cooper DeJean in a Vic Fangio scheme?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
When I don't need Cooper DeJean to be anything and I can put him in a Vic Fangio scheme, sign me up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put my initials on all four of those pages. Okay, yeah. I will. Yeah. So yeah, that's why I really like that haul for you guys as well.
Yeah, it was solid. And then that's why I liked the fact we got him in the second, because there's so much depth and there's so much talent at those positions. He doesn't have to play outside corner. He could play the nickel, but we have so many different options with Quinyon and a bunch of other guys to really mix him. We could put him at safety. So it's like he doesn't have to come in and play that outside corner, get burnt, lose his confidence, stuff like that. Now we got to move him. So it's so much.
Or ask him to do things he can't do. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, and he can return punts. So that helps us too.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is so ideal for him. Again, Howie doing what Howie does. Yeah. The last part of the Eagles draft that I wanted to look at or mention was the center you guys took.
Yeah.
The small guy that you took. Yeah. And you just the track record that you have of being able to develop guys like that. It's just I gotta give y'all nothing but props for that, because once again, just hitting home runs,
baby.
My draft class would have to be the Ravens. That's the biggest one that I want to bring up. I mean, in the first round they went and took Nate Wiggins, a guy that I had as another player going to be picked in the teens. We were just talking about how much the corners fell in this draft class right now. And then even after Nate Wiggins, they go ahead and scoop up Roger Rosengarten, tackle out of Washington. He was one of my top 10 tackles. And we saw in the first round how tackles are flying off the board. And for them to go ahead and snag one, like, well, I still really liked him right there. For them to go ahead and snag one, awesome. Love that move. Then beyond that, they got, who was it? Quez Watkins. Or no, Tez Walker, the receiver out of North Carolina. Someone who can be like a bigger receiver that can stretch the field and give them like just like a vertical straight line element as a complementary piece to all the other like shifty intermediate dudes that they have. Zay Flowers, they just picked up gave Bateman a little mini extension as well.
I love that as well.
So, I mean, this type of pick in that section of the draft, that's great. And then after that, even before that, third round, they drafted Deesa Isaac, edge out of Penn State. He was one of my top 10s, also at a premier position. But the pick of all picks that they made, TJ Tampa at 130 overall.
Yes.
Like, corner out of Iowa State. This dude was like a borderline top five at the position for me.
Yeah.
And they got this fool like 100, almost 100 picks later than I would have. 150, just 90 picks later than I would assume they got him. Just amazing.
It was still shocking to the fact that he was there. I was like, I heard, because I would listen to a bunch of different draft people, and I'm like, TJ Tampa was a name that I kept hearing. I think like people said, like maybe not like late first, but like second round, he's solid. Got all the measure, like all that kind of stuff, real physical, like all that. But yeah, so that TJ Tampa pick, when I saw that he was still available, when I was watching day three, because it was the first time, like I didn't have nothing to do, I could watch it from home or watch it in the morning. So I was like, oh snap, TJ. I was like, TJ Tampa's still there? I said, man, I've been hearing about this dude for a minute now. I was like, and I was like, of course the Ravens got him. Mm-hmm. Of course they got him.
He fell because of his pre-draft process. He didn't do the best.
Yeah.
A, he skipped the Senior Bowl after he got like an early invite. And B, he ran like a 4.6, 4.58 in the 40. So teams kind of got, but yeah. So I think you got a great player, a really good player, a great player for that value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other hauls that you really like or want to discuss?
Not too. I remember CJ gave a shout out to the chat. Shout out to SSAWP.
El Jefe.
CJ Cuevas, El Jefe. Yeah, El Jefe. Washington had a really good haul. Bunch of different good picks. Solid there. Just building a lot of stuff on defense and things like that. So that was like another solid one that we're talking about. But yeah, I think that's it for the most part.
The Washington one, yeah, no, I definitely like that Washington draft class.
Yeah,
I would say if I had to bring up one other team other than Baltimore, I'd have to go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I would have to go with Pittsburgh. Yes. That's where I'd have to go. Yeah. Let's start off. Troy Fautanu, pick 20 overall in the first round. Yep. The tackle guard out of Washington. I mean, this team having four picks in the top 100, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And just delivered on all of them. Starting off with Troy, he was my number, if I were to put him at guard, he'd probably be like number two, number one, maybe at interior O lineman. And if I was to put him at, when I ended up putting him in my tackle rankings, he was third. Yeah. Just behind Joe Alt and Olufashino. So, yeah, really love them picking him up there at 20. Zach Frazier, top six interior offensive lineman, the center they drafted in the second round, 51 overall out of West Virginia. Love that kid. They took Roman Wilson, who at 84th overall, who was like my ninth or eighth wide receiver, kid out of Michigan. I mean, he fits what they need at wide receiver. Just so well right now. And just the track record of Pittsburgh receivers drafted in this range who have a lot of tangibles that I like. Sign me up. I'm here for it.
He about to get a Pro Bowl soon. About to get a Pro Bowl. That like I was like when I remember when they took Zach Frazier in the second round, I was like, this is where they go receiver. They didn't take a receiver. Took Roman Wilson out of Michigan. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
There we go. I was like, well, that dude's about to be a star. Because that's what happens when you go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like the Niners took Ricky Pearsall in the first round at the end of it. And I had Roman Wilson like three spots ahead of Ricky Pearsall, and the Steelers took him two rounds later. Like,
I didn't get that pick for the Niners because I was like, ain't this dude like a third round pick, like a late second?
Ricky Pearsall was my 12th receiver on my board. You know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Kyle Shanahan definitely knows more about football than I do. I'm not going to sit here and act like he don't.
Still didn't want a Super Bowl, but yeah.
You know, hey, I ain't either.
hey, well, we both ain't won a Super Bowl. Hey, we could both say that. So hey,
you know, hey, with Kyle Shanahan sitting here with us, maybe he got a podcast.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State, wasn't necessarily the best linebacker class, but I think that his instincts will be able to shine and to go to like a unit. That like what Pittsburgh is right now. Awesome. Dope. The other pick that I really want to shout out is the Mason McCormick pick. 119th overall, the guard out of South Dakota State. Like, you come out of a draft and you pull three offensive linemen that I had in my top 20 of all offensive linemen on top of a receiver I had in my top 10. Salute, man. Like, love this
one. I was like, I'm trying to remember. Najee Harris, Warren. Is it Warren, the other running back?
Jalen Warren, that's my guy.
Yeah. I was trying to make sure I got his name right.
That is my guy.
Yeah. Going to get a lot of yards behind this O-line. I feel it gelling. They finally addressed it. They started last year where they got the tackle. They got the tackle out of Tennessee. Well, no, that was the Bears. But they got the tackle. So that was
out of Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia, yeah. So then this year they doubled down, tripled down, because they got three. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whew. I was like, this division is about to go back to black and blue even more, because the Steelers' O-line is about to be nasty.
Black and blue because this division beats the fuck up out of each other, so everybody going to be bruised like they are at the end of every year.
So I'm like, the Steelers about to get back to old Smash Mouth, Bill Cowher type football that we remember with like Jerome Bettis stuff. I'm like, man, I'm in fantasy. I know Chase isn't here, but damn, I know probably if you drafted Najee, your handicap will be worn, because they about to run the shit out of the ball right now. So I'm just definitely.
Shit, in fantasy, I could even say you could draft Warren standalone.
Yeah.
You could draft Warren standalone, yeah. Which I did last year in every single league I was in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple of draft hauls. Do you have a second one that you want to bring up?
Steelers was, well, after you said the Steelers, Steelers did come to mind. That was my one, because I liked how they just attacked the trenches, because I remember that was like the main thing. They kept drafting all these great receivers who was doing stuff, but then O-line was always there, especially after Villanueva retired or like left, then had holes and stuff like that. Then Pouncey retired. They really didn't feel him until most recent. So I'm super happy they finally tripled down and got three O-linemen in the draft, who just looks just nasty and about to get back to the old Steeler football. And with Russ doing the play action or Justin Fields, it's going to be a good look in the running game this year.
So we'll move on to the We've been very positive, very jovial about what a lot of teams have done in the draft. Very easy to do so with how things went down. Let's kind of flip the coin on the other side of the head here.
Yeah.
What picks, Corday, or what pick jumped out to you as one you didn't like? You can either go single pick or you can go overall haul of what a particular team did that just kind of left you scratching your head.
I say the pick, and I'll go with the Bills going off what we said earlier, the moving down, gotten Keon Cole, but I'm just like, strengthen the division rival and Keon Cole. I feel like the fact that Cole had a great press conference up there in Buffalo, like, oh, you know, I got this jacket, Macy's. Like, you know, that's what Macy's. You know, gotta, you know, I got, and I buy mine in the summer because when it's in the summer, it's on sale. I love cool dudes with a Southern accent, because it's like the fact you traded down to strengthen your opponent, and then after that, they didn't really have a good draft. You mentioned as well. I didn't get those two standpoints, but then also the team overall that I didn't like draft was the Cowboys. They got the tackle, but everything after that, Marshon Nealon traded down for Cooper BB. I'm just like, what are y'all doing, Dallas? It was funny because a few days before the draft, they talked about, I think it was the 95 or the 96 season, where they had all these dope positions and all these stars everywhere, so they were just drafting backups. And they said that was like the downfall of the Cowboys drafting bad players and having bad drafts for several different years. This is what it felt like. Another bad draft by them. And I'm just like, Mozzie Smith really didn't do much to him, their first-round pick last year. They didn't draft a running back, even though there was a ton of the talent. Even late in the draft, there was guys coming up. I think it was like the fifth or sixth round. There was like a bunch of dudes coming off the board, and they just like Dallas isn't taking none of them. We see they got guys here. But they're not taking them. I guess they're going to be bringing back the small guy, you know, because Pollard left. Like, so what are you doing? So it was super fun. I'm like, yeah. I was like, I think Dallas tanking. They're going to get rid of. They're going to put all this pressure on Dak, and he's going to walk, and they're going to start over. So.
Yeah, no. The Dallas draft, I was not really a big fan of.
Yeah.
The Tyler Guyton pick, that was dope. I'll give him that one. 29th overall. But I felt like I can't remember the player. It was a running back in like the fourth round.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was right now.
Yeah.
It wasn't Corum. Anyway, or was it Isaac Garendo, who the Niners took in the fourth round before Dallas?
Florida State? No, not Florida State. It was
Garendo was from Louisville. Garendo's from Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
I can't remember. Was it him? Anyway, Jerry Jones, I remember seeing this random clip. Jerry Jones is talking about this running back like he's already on the team. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, we loved what he did, you know, like, or like it was like an afterthought. And it's like, yeah. Jerry, do you realize that like this, A, this player is still on the board, and B, there's still a lot of picks from now until when you could pick where you might be able to take him. So yeah. maybe you shouldn't yeah. tell these yeah. other teams, like, you know, who you really want. Anyway, yeah, typical Jerry Jones type of thing right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I were to look at like the draft class for me that I didn't like, honestly, you're the one that wasn't my favorite. I got to go with Miami.
Okay.
I got to go with Miami. They took, if Jay listens to this, I'm going to know if Jay listens to this because he's going to have something to say about this one because we disagree on this guy. Chop Robinson, number 21 yeah. overall, the edge yeah. out of Penn State. Chop is Jay's number two edge rusher in this draft class. Yeah, I have yeah. not seen anybody higher on Chop Robinson than I have seen Jay. Okay. So if he pans out, like that man really, really found himself a gem. I had Chop at 4 overall in this draft class, but a big gap from the top three, who were Laiatu out of UCLA, Jared Verse, who was out of Florida State, and Dallas Turner out of Alabama. And then Chop was my fourth, but there was just a big gap. There's no way I was going to bring him up, get him in the first round. No matter who I was, which team I would have been picking for. And there was a lot of picks, though, that happened in the first round that really made that, like, kind of, in a way, you could say, pigeonholed them into doing that for what Miami needed. Miami needed help in the trenches. You could yeah. look both ways for that, which I don't blame them for going with a trench player there because Bradley Chubb got hurt last year, because Jalen Phillips got hurt last year. And they were left with, you know, like kind of nothing at that point. But I mean, I feel like the offensive line is something that I'd have addressed first. They could have drafted Graham Barton there, the center slash guard slash tackle out of Duke, who I was very high on. Graham Barton got picked before them. But what I was going to bring up is that Graham Barton got picked. And then before that, it was Jordan Morgan that got picked. For that, it was. Who else? Talise Fuanga got picked, and Amarius Mims got picked, and Troy Fautanu got picked, and Olufoshanu. Like there was all these players that they were kind of eyeing that they could have taken, and that really kind of hampered what they were going to do. But still, like, give me Tyler Guyton before you give me Chop Robinson with what this team needed, you know? My bad. Yeah, even give them Graham Barton, who was still there as well. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. I didn't like that too much. Patrick Paul in the second round, I'm okay with. Yeah. And then from there, just the only other pick I can latch onto that I liked was the two receivers that they took in the sixth and seventh round.
Yeah, yeah.
Malik Washington and Taj Washington, who they grabbed, and they'll find a slot receiver out of those two guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't like those first two picks all that much, and I feel like there were still people on the board at the time that they were going to pick where they could have upgraded from those two guys.
Yeah. Not a super strong. Chop Robinson was like a very divisive person. A lot of different opinions with him too. Size and stuff like that. One move. And I was like, all right. So, I really like the player too. So I definitely understand it. And especially O-line has been like a problem that they really needed. Armstead is always hurt. Like when he's a Pro Bowl guy, when he's like,
they signed him to play last year and he played like a third of the season, quarter, half, something like that.
And I'd just be seeing him. I'd be like, look, I remember he got hurt. I think I heard in training camp.
He did for a while. Had to sit out in training camp and they asked him about it. And he said, that's not because I'm hurt. It's just because I'm old.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I remember he said that too. I remember he was like, getting kind of old and stuff like that. And I was like, as he's wearing like this big ass chain, and I was like, it just sent the wrong signal. Like he was like, I'm just kind of, and then like earrings is huge, and I'm just like, only player who I like wearing big chains like that and got the diamond is Trent Williams, because he balling and he the best damn left tackle in the league, you know. But you hurt, got a big ass.
Yeah, you ain't out there flashing, bro.
You ain't. this don't add up well, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. You can't like, stunt off the field only.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, this ain't right, yo. This ain't. Because I remember, I think they was on a bye week and he was in LA. I was like, what the fuck are you doing in LA? I was like, what? On some show? I was like, I think he did the Rich Eisen show when he was on bye. And I was just like, ain't you hurt? I was like, yeah, I know this, these flights ain't helping the soreness in your ankles and your legs that keep getting hurt, your knee. And I'm just like, this ain't it. This
ain't it, bro.
To
move on, shift gears, our last topic that we have here. Yeah. Your favorite, later round pick.
So, this guy was pretty divisive. He had to leave the school that he was at, and then his back, he got benched, and his backup took over, became a phenomenon while he was there, so he had no choice but to transfer. I'm going Spencer Rattler in the fifth round to the New Orleans Saints. I like it too. Super talented. Initially was thought of going to be like a first round pick the year he got benched, but he was struggling a little bit. And then we learned about Caleb Williams, who was fucking amazing. And then you think about how talented Rattler must have been to keep Caleb on the bench at that time too. So
I wonder if it's like what they invested in, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we know we got more time with Caleb. We don't have as much time with Spencer, so let's just do this for now.
Do this for now. Because I remember, the offense was struggling. I think it was one game I was watching. And I was just like, a lot of inaccuracy. And then Spencer seemed like the pressure was getting to him at his final year. Like, you can tell he was pressing. You could tell he was trying to hit the home run balls. And then eventually got benched. Because I think the final score of one game was like 16-13. And offense just didn't look right. Next game, he got benched. Caleb Williams comes in, throws, looks fucking amazing. Rest of history. Go to South Carolina, kind of, find his footing early in the season, but then he really had some big, explosive games where people said this is what Spencer Rattler could do, but he had to show the consistency. And I'm like, well, maybe in New Orleans, where there's less pressure, you got Derek Carr in front of you. And it kind of feel like they might be looking to offload Derek Carr's contract in a year or two, just because he's older and, kind of, whatever, plays up and down.
Yeah.
Spencer could walk, Rattler could walk right into, he has a ton of weapons there. He got Olave and a bunch of a very dope, receiving, they moved over Michael Thomas, but it's really good. And it's crazy that Northern Saints are always in salary cap hell. So you could take over.
Yeah. They treat it like it's a credit card.
we're going to push down the road again.
We're going to pay the credit card off with another credit card.
Hey, Cam Jordan, can you sign your name right here, please? yes, you are a part owner of the New Orleans Saints. What are you doing? Stop putting bills in our name, So that was my pick that I really liked.
No, I like that one. My late round pick. It's got to be Troy Franklin in the fourth round going to the Denver Broncos. Nice. That one right there is, I had Troy Franklin as my wide receiver 4 in this draft, and they ended up, I take that back. Wide receiver 5.
That's not that big of a difference. I don't know why he failed. I kept seeing,
You know, and the thing too, you always wonder this when draft season comes out, you always wonder, was there a medical or was there something about a character issue that was just kept on the hush that NFL teams know that the media people didn't? And the people that are plugged into the league have since reported there wasn't anything like that. Only after the fact, it's just people don't trust the tape. People don't trust what they saw. People don't like how his pre-draft process. People don't this, that, or the other. You know what I mean? So, okay. I really liked a lot. And this isn't just me coming out as an Oregon biased guy. I really liked a lot of what I saw on tape from him over the years. I like his tempo that he plays with. I like his ability to run deep. I like his ability to play with DB's blind spots. When he's engaged and he is a willing blocker, he may not be the best because he's not the biggest guy, but he's very willing. And a lot of times all you need is effort if you want to be a blocker and just simply where to place your body to be a shield. And he has that. And then also, if you're the Broncos and you invested the 12th overall pick in Bo Nix, it only helps if you bring in someone that he's very familiar with and yep. someone that he had as much familiarity and success yep. with like he did with Troy Franklin. So that's why that pick is my favorite late round one. And again, like I said, my receiver five that they got super late ended up picking overall at pick number 102.
Yeah,
I had a top 35, 40 pick on this guy.
I remember
I had him mocked at times to go to Buffalo in the first round.
Yeah, I remember he was projected because he felt he didn't go in the first round. So they was like, so top people on the board probably is going to go is him. They specifically said that. I remember I was like, oh, yeah, I remember him. And like I'm seeing him in like mocks and stuff like that, like late, first, second. Because they should definitely go second, maybe, yeah, like second round pickles they had. And then they got him in the fourth. I was just like, this man is still available? It was crazy to see. Because I just kept seeing the highlights. I was like, why is this dude still on the board? Like, it just didn't make sense. And then it was like a guy like Buffalo or a team like Buffalo felt like they probably should have got him because he kept falling and great value pick. But yeah, Denver Broncos getting your first round pick, a guy who's already comfortable with. We saw what happened with Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase. It just helps both of you transition easier.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, that's the wrap there, my brother.
Yeah, my brother.
That's what we got on the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah.
I think from now until we get to the kickoff of the season, we're going to have to make ourselves some off-season content. Yeah. Be sure to pay attention to that. Everybody listening, get at us on Facebook. Go ahead and send an email to the show. Listen to the end, the exit where Brady tells you where to send those. If you have something that you want to chime in with and let us know or want us to break down, we're down to do it. You know how to reach all of us. It's Cover Zero Podcast. Thank y'all for listening.